Good morning. Welcome to New Hope Bible Fellowship Church. Glad to have each and every one of you here with us this morning. This morning we're going to continue our study of Hebrews. We'll be looking at Hebrews chapter 2 today, verses 1 through 4. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Let's start off in the book of Isaiah, chapter 17, and the first part of verse 10. Isaiah chapter 17, verse 10. Because thou hast forgotten the Lord, the God of thy salvation, and hast not been mindful of the rock of thy strength. Because thou hast forgotten who? The God of thy salvation, and hast not been mindful of the rock of thy strength. Hebrews was written in AD 66. This is at the particular time when Judea was controlled by Rome. Nero was Rome's emperor at this time, and as they were writing the book of Hebrews, he recently had signed a decree making Christianity illegal. Now understand that the church had been persecuted before this time, but never was it ever sanctioned by the Roman emperor. At this point, the Jewish church was almost all Jews. There were four particular groups. There were Herodians, Pharisees, Sadducees, and Essenes. Now, there were members of each of these four groups of Jews that had trusted Christ and joined the church at Jerusalem. Now, we had studied back in Galatians that the first church council meeting settled the issue that you did not have to be born a Jew in order to be a Christian. And so that was settled 20 years prior to this writing. However, the church at Jerusalem, the makeup of it, remained all Jewish. Almost all Jews were at the church of Jerusalem, the Christian church at Jerusalem. So these Jewish Christians would worship and meet together like we do today, yet they also worshiped at the temple. And the temple was still a very important place for them. Understand that the temple was a place that they had grown up in. In fact, they had been there since the day that they turned 8 years old, was their first visit to the temple. And the temple still played a very significant role in the young Jewish Christian's life. They would meet with their Christian friends, much like you and I do, on a particular day of the week or multiple days of the week. They would fellowship, but they would also worship at the temple. But now, because of Nero's decree, they were now kicked out of the temple. And this was a big deal to them. This was a tragic event in their lives. Now, you and I might become upset with the church for many reasons, and we might decide to leave a church because maybe the pastor's sermons or the style of music that is played there or the programs that they have or the lack of programs that they have or something as simple as, hey, they're just not friendly enough for me. And we might leave that fellowship to go join another fellowship right down the road. But this was a little bit different for the Jews. It wasn't their choice that they left the temple. They were kicked out. Now, being kicked out of a church is a completely different thing. It has been told to me that my grandfather was a very opinionated man and that he was kicked out of many a church in Sacramento, California. And as soon as he would rebut the pastor's sermon from the pew, he would be escorted out of that building by deacons, and if it happened enough and no resolve could happen, he was asked never to come back. Now, it wasn't a big deal for him because, like you and me, if we got kicked out of church, as hurtful and as painful as that might be, being asked to leave a church, we can usually just walk down the street to another church and join that one and become a fellowshipping member there. But to the Jews, being kicked out of the temple, There was no other temple to go to right down the road. This was their one and only temple. It was everything to them. Again, they had been going there their whole lives, and it was something that they were absolutely used to. So at this point in time, it would be very easy for the Jewish Christians to go back to the old sacrificial system and neglect meeting with their brothers and sisters of the Christian faith. It would be very easy for them to go back and to the familiar ways. It's not that these Christian Jews would be denying Christ. They wouldn't do that, but they certainly would be compromising their beliefs and at least ignoring Christ as they return to the ritualistic system that would again allow them to fellowship at the temple. And their reasoning probably was God really wouldn't care, right? Because God was in the temple long before Jesus came along, and he really wouldn't care if they worshiped him in the temple or in a fellowship of like-minded Christian believers, right? He wouldn't care about that. And this is the exact reason that Hebrews was written. It was written for these Jews who were tempted to go back to the old ritualistic system and hide there. So Hebrews sets out to show the superiority of Christ. If we think about what we have learned already in the first chapter, that Jesus was better than the Old Testament prophets, they only spoke the Word of God, but Jesus Christ is the Word of God. In contrast, the angels that God created, they are only creatures of His creation. Jesus Christ is the Creator. Remember, Jesus was with God and the Holy Spirit at the beginning of creation, and in Genesis chapter 1, when they talked about, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness." We also find that Jesus was better than Moses. Although Moses led the entire nation of Israel, it was Jesus that made the nation. And we also have also learned that Jesus is better than Aaron and the Aaronic priesthood. As wonderful as Aaron was and the priests that followed him and them offering up sacrifices on a daily basis, realize that Jesus is the ultimate sacrifice. So you might be asking, how does this apply to you and me? How does Hebrews apply to you and me? Well, just like the Jews, their old sacrificial system was something that was pulling them, something that was luring them back to their old ways. And just like you and I today, there are many things trying to pull us away, to not have us deny Christ, but certainly compromise our beliefs, or not give the amount of credence and time and devotion that we would have to Christ. Understand that Jesus is better than popularity. I think this is a tough thing for our young people in the church today. Everyone wants to be popular, but I don't think it really changes as we become adults. We want to be liked by everyone else. We want to be popular in our communities, in our neighborhoods, wherever we go. We want to have a certain degree of honor among others. And popularity is something that we could be absolutely concerned about that would draw us away. Understand that Jesus is better than status symbols, than chasing the Joneses, than having the next best house, the next best car, the next best job, whatever it may be, all these status symbols that are constantly luring us away from Jesus Christ. Understand that Jesus is better than financial success. A lot of time is talked about self-made men and women who have done it all by their own power Not once are we realizing that if anything good happens, it is a gift of God to his children. And God is even better than any other relationship. And this even goes to the core of the family. Better than a relationship with your spouse. Better relationship with your children. If those relationships are luring or causing you to drift away because you become focused on them more than Jesus Christ, the warning here is that you and I could be drifting away. Jesus is better, amen? Jesus is better. So let's bow our heads and pray this morning. Gracious Heavenly Father, as we look into your word of Hebrews, we ask, dear God, that you would guide and direct us and teach us, Lord, from your scripture this morning. Lord, may we heed your warnings. May we seek to understand, Lord, everything that you have for us. And we just ask, dear God, that you would bless us this morning. We thank you, God, for all things. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, turn in your Bibles with me to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to all the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. There is a warning here in verse 1. This is the first of five warnings that we will be discussing as we go through the book of Hebrews. There's a reason that this warning is here. The reason is that it's important to know that Jesus is better. He's better because there is a danger. There is a danger of slipping. And again, this is the first of the five warnings. There's this danger of slipping away. Now, understand that the book of Hebrews was not written to pagans, to unsaved, to non-believers. This was a book written to professing Jewish Christians, people that have been washed in the blood, people that have been sanctified and justified by the blood of Jesus Christ. And now God is giving them a warning to those who had put their faith in Christ. Understand that we have to put our faith in something. And as Christians, the object of our faith is indeed Jesus Christ. But these Jewish Christians were in danger of putting their faith back into the old sacrificial system. They were looking at the temple as fulfilling a need that only Christ could fulfill. And if they had only known that within 4 years of Roman occupation of Judea, that their precious temple that they are about to compromise and put their faith in was going to be completely destroyed and burnt to the ground. 4 years from now, the temple wouldn't even be standing there. There would no longer be sacrifices. Everything that they know would cease, and their heart would be broken on that day. I have a picture up here of a balloon slipping out of the hand of a little child, and this has happened to my wife and I more than one time, and you think something horrible has happened when you hear the blood-curdling screams of a little child, and you run to find them, and you look up, and sure enough, 60 feet and ascending in the air is their balloon filled with helium. What was the problem? The problem was that balloon was not anchored securely in something that is steadfast. Where have you anchored your soul today, brothers and sisters? Rather, who have you anchored your soul in today? The second question I want to ask, where does your hope come from? What are we putting our hope in this morning, brothers and sisters? Is it your career? Or is it your career that is yet to come? Once I have this position or make this certain amount of money, I will be a, a happy person. Our family will be secure. Are we putting our hope in our mate, our significant other? Are we leaning on them for something that they cannot provide for us? Are we doing this through our children or even our church? Are we anchoring our soul in something that will fail us and leave us heartbroken? If it is anything besides the Lord Jesus Christ, you and I are in danger. We are in danger of slipping away. And understand, this slippage doesn't happen all at once. It's not some big, huge event in our lives, and we definitely realize what has happened. It is something that is very gradual. It's something that takes a long time, and because it is so slow, it often goes unnoticed until it is too late. The warning that God has left us of slipping away. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 2. Let's look at the next 1.5 verses. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 2. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Now, we understand that there is a certain judgment laid out here in verses 2 and the first part of verse 3. How shall we escape? What are we escaping from? Escaping from that transgression, that disobedience, and that just recompense of a reward. There is a just reward for breaking God's law. And if we compare and contrast here the law and salvation, we can see what the writer of Hebrews was trying to teach the Hebrews, what he is trying to teach you and I today. That the law, we understand that the law was brought through the angels. The angels were present with Moses on Mount Sinai. They helped bring the law, and the law was a wonderful and great thing. But the law pales in comparison to salvation, which was brought through the Son of God, who not only kept the law, but fulfilled it in every degree. The law, in contrast, says that angels are great. They are incredible, supernatural beings. Yet understand that they are only a creation, and that the Son, Jesus Christ, is greater than any angel ever is or will be, because he created the angels. Understand that the neglect of the law brought certain judgment. Understand the contrast of salvation listed here in verse 3, that neglect of so great a salvation. If the law brought certain judgment and the law was great, how much greater is salvation? And how much greater or certain is the judgment if we neglect so great a salvation? Let's go back to our text in Hebrews, and let's pick up in verse 3 this idea that our salvation has been confirmed. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3, picking up. Which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. God also bearing them witness both with signs and wonders, and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. So the question again is posed, why is it dangerous to ignore this salvation? And understand the Christian salvation is different than any other faith out there, any other religion that has been made available. It's very different because it has been confirmed with signs and wonders. See, most people in the church did not see Jesus. By the time the writer of the Hebrews wrote this book, 30 years now have passed since the crucifixion of Jesus. Most were saved by the preaching of others, by the preaching of someone besides Jesus. So if you were alive during this time, the question you might ask yourself, how can I know that the message that I'm hearing was true? How do I know that this man and standing in front of me is telling me the truth? The writer of Hebrews says it will be confirmed by signs and wonders. This is how you know it will be true. See, when Jesus taught, often he taught with miracles. This was a sign for the unbelieving Jew that Jesus, this man claiming to be the Messiah, was indeed the messenger, the Son of God, sent from God, something that they would have known. Even the Pharisees proclaimed that this man does great miracles. He has to be from God. He has to be from God. So Jesus himself offered miracles. Jesus himself offered miracles. Turn with me to the book of John. John chapter 10. John chapter 10. And let's go to verse 38. But if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. See, Jesus said, if you don't believe me, believe in my miracles. And if you believe in my miracles, that they are wrought from God, then you will also then believe in me. And Paul backed up what Jesus has said about his miracles. Turn with me, please, to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Let's look at verse 22. Peter is offering evidence, the same evidence that Jesus Christ is indeed from God, where he says in verse 22, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know." See, Peter's trying to make a distinction here. Listen, Jesus is different than any other prophet because look what he has been able to do. Just like the scriptures said, you will know him because of the signs and wonders and miracles that he will perform. Peter is saying Jesus is the real deal. He is the Messiah. But understand that the miracles did not stop there. They continued on with the apostles. Turn with me to the book of Mark. The book of Mark in chapter 16. Mark 16. We're going to find that the miracles did not stop with Jesus. In fact, he gave this power to his apostles as well. Mark 16, look at verse 17 and following. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So here in the Gospel of Mark, it is outlined of what abilities, supernatural abilities, the apostles will be given by the Holy Spirit, that they'll be able to cast out devils, that they'll be able to speak in foreign languages that they have not learned. They'll be able to handle poisonous snakes, and they can even drink poison, and it will not kill them. And they'll have the ability to heal those who are sick by the laying on of hands. This is a sign. This is a sign that this was going, something that was going to continue through the apostles. Miracles, signs, and wonders. But God wanted the people to know his authentic messages. messengers. He wanted people to understand that you can put your faith and trust in these men who have brought you my word. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And let's look at verse 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. What is the sign? What is the sign of a true apostle? Let's read it here. Truly, the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. The apostles had this extra supernatural power to back up the message that God had given them. And this is how someone during this time could know for certain that they could believe wholeheartedly in the message that was being preached to them. So the question comes up today, are these gifts still operating today? Are signs and wonders and miracles still happening today? In my opinion, I would say no, because if we look in the book of Hebrews here, these signs are described as something that took place in the past. It's something in the past tense. This is an historical document, an historical thing that talks about how these did happen. We don't need this type of signs, wonders, and miracles confirmation today. Our confirmation comes by what we call the completed scriptures. The scriptures are complete, and God has given us everything that we need to know in them, in the revealed scripture. Turn with me to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John. And turn with me to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. Go to almost the very end of the book, and let's look at the last two verses. Verses 30 and 31. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. What book is that? That's the Holy Bible that you're holding today. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Again, we do not need the confirmation, are these scriptures true, by signs, wonders, and miracles, because we have the completed scriptures. And it's through these that you and I might believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Have you accepted this morning the New Testament message that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? Have you believed everything that it has said about who Jesus is? Have you believed that Jesus is better than anything that this world has to offer you? Or have you been guilty of neglecting so great a salvation and allowing your soul to be anchored in something that is not steadfast, something that this world has offered you, something that will be destroyed by moss and rust, only to have your dreams shattered when that thing is taken away from you? Have you accepted the New Testament message that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, that Jesus is indeed better? See, understand, Jesus is better is a glorious declaration. It's a wonderful thing that you and I can declare that Jesus is better. He's better than the best job in the world. He's better than the best car in the world, than the best house in the world, than the best relationship in the world. He is better than anything. And if we put anything before him, the warning of Hebrews chapter 2 becomes something that you and I need to heed, something that you and I need to think about. Before we get lured away, the warning is this: Jesus is indeed better. You will be disappointed and possibly even heartbroken when the thing that you have put your trust in, your hope in, is destroyed. Let's pray this morning.